Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Wes.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is the first episode for the month of November, which means it's the Pokemon Show.
Alright.
Yup.
And we got a lot to get to, so let's dive right into it. We're going to do our 4th Gen Nuzlocke discussion. Mm-hmm. How far are you?
I am at the 5th Gym.
Okay, so we'll go up to the 5th Gym. Yeah. And then pick it up on another show later on. And then Wes is starting a new run through of X and Y.
Which Indubitably.
That's fantastic.
We're going to talk some X and Y again. I'm excited too.
I am currently making 3 eggs hatch that I need.
All right, well, you get to it, and we'll get to our Nuzlocke. So before we get into the particulars of the actual, I guess, goings-on of the game, for lack of a better word, I am playing Pearl version in the 4th gen.
Mm-hmm. And I'm on Platinum. And I didn't realize this, because I ended up getting my cartridge after you already had yours for, I'm presuming, many years, that I didn't get the right version, or I didn't get the true companion. I got the one that's sort of like the yellow to the red and blue.
Right, so and there are some pretty significant additions.
Yeah.
And even some alterations to the progression. Mm-hmm. That's probably the word I was looking for earlier. The progression of the game. Anyway. So There might be a little things out of order, and we'll try to address.
I think for the most part, differences. Though, yeah, it takes a few gems before things really start. The paths really start to diverge.
Right. I think once you get to Hearthhome, that's something that's a pretty big diversion. But you know, we'll address that when it comes up and make our appropriate, I guess, comments about how, hey, this is something different between the versions.
Mm-hmm.
So the 4th generation, I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying it.
Oh, I think it's fantastic.
I'm enjoying the construction of the world a lot more than the 3rd generation. It seems to establish a better momentum to keep you moving forward, but then also the world itself feels more alive, I guess. It feels like in every new location you go to, there's something to do in that area other than, you know, just kick down the gates of the town and say, all right, where the fuck's the gym and get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
So
where's the center? Where's the mart? Where's the gym? And I'm on my way.
Yeah, exactly. There doesn't seem to be any places like that where those were pretty plentiful in the 3rd generation. You know, it's still not quite as, I guess, alive as a world as the 5th generation. I guess the example me and Wes always go to with the 5th generation is the gym leaders actually do something. They're actually like actively participating in the world they're living in.
Uh-huh.
Whereas really late in the 4th generation, there is an event where Team Plasma is up to no good at the lake.
Yeah.
One of the lakes way in the town, way up north. And there's a gym leader right next to, like, in the town right next to the lake. This is the lake where it's the only lake that's really near a town. The gym leader is right there. They're up to no good. Everyone in the town is addressing, like, hey, Team Galactic over there, they're not so savory characters. Gym leader's just hanging out. Like, no, I'll just wait for someone to come challenge me. Not really giving a shit about the world he's living in.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, I mean, what are the responsibilities of gym leader? Not to get off on too much of a tangent about this, but
sounds ass drinking beer waiting for people to show up to beat the fuck out of them.
I mean, I guess
that's pretty much
is their most basic.
They got like
function.
A bag of badges. They're just like, all right, just go ahead and reach your hand in there.
Yeah, they're the sort of like stewards of these badges, like that you need to enter the Pokemon League and be able to challenge the Elite Four and become champion.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't really have an express like narrative responsibility to like the towns that they're living in or the region that they're living in. But in the 5th generation, and we've harped on this many times, they're actually used as story conceits to kind of guide your progression in certain areas. Like, instead of, like, having, like, oh, you can't go here yet because you don't have cut, it'll be like, oh, no, there's a story event, you can't go here yet because the gym leader needs you to go do something or is going to do something with you.
Mm.
And it just makes for a much more detailed world that you're playing in.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get back to the 4th gen.
Sure.
And, one of the biggest differences is in Pearl, in Diamond and Pearl, you only have the available Pokedex of 150 from the start. Whereas in Platinum, I know at the very least you have the option of getting an Eevee early on in the game. Whereas I do not have access to an Eevee.
I see.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
So You have an expanded Pokedex right away.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know there's also a couple other things that I... And because we figured this out earlier, but like I'll get them along the way that you won't, where there's like certain events or certain just special things that come my way that don't go your way.
Right. But...
But beyond that... And, yeah, and broad brush strokes, we're essentially going to be playing the same thing. Just some little different here and there.
I don't think that there are any significant random encounters that are significantly different in... Platinum as opposed to Pearl. I think generally...
My starter is a Squirtle, though.
So all right. Well, I'd say, well, let's just dive right into it. That's as good a place as any.
Yeah. So we start off in Twinleaf.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Which is your hometown. It's real, real basic. It's just like every other hometown you've ever started in. There's a couple of towns and there's a couple of houses. No lab, though.
Is there an exit outside of the main entrance that goes down the ramp? Or do you actually have a way out of your own town? Because I believe that was an issue with Ruby and Sapphire. You basically just show up on a truck into the middle of this.
In the back of the truck,
yeah,
too.
There's no route.
Yeah, just you and a bunch of, I don't know, ne'er-do-well Machokes.
Moving around boxes and you. They're the only Pokemon that have jobs.
Yeah,
right?
Apparently.
But, I don't know that there's an actual road that goes into town. It's not... ringing a bell with me right now, but you know, I also don't. I guess I could just fly to the town real quick and look.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay. So who's your starter?
My starter. I took Chimchar because fire types are scarce within the limited Pokedex.
Yeah,
of
you'd
Diamond
think
Pearl.
That. You'd think that, wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, there is one particular.
There,
fire
there are
type
few that's... of them, but they are plentiful.
Right. So I went with Chimchar just to guarantee that I would have that type alignment. But you actually get that Pokemon. When you go north to Verity Lake, and you and your buddy, your rival, who'd you name? What'd you name your rival?
Oh, well, this is an interesting thing about it. I think the default name is Barry.
Yes.
And I went in to change his name, and I was like, oh, I'll name him. And then I had a complete blank, and I was like, why am I wasting my time trying to think of what to name this thing? So I just backed out all the characters, and I hit OK, presuming it would default back to Barry or whatever the first name was. I ended up naming it Pearl.
Oh.
Which is, I thought was really interesting, really clever. It's like, sometimes if you like are naming a Pokemon, you just opt not to name it anything. It just default to what the original name was.
Yeah.
So I would imagine if you did it with your own character, maybe it would name you Diamond.
Possibly. It did that in the original Red and Blue versions back in the day. Like, your default name, like your first option for a default name, if you're playing Blue version, was Blue, and it would make your rival Red.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, maybe it's going back to one of those methods. In case anyone's curious, yes, there is a road that takes you into Twinleaf Town.
Okay. So yeah, Pearl. My guy's named Pearl, which is an effeminate name, but hey, you know, he's a feminine guy.
I'm a little hurt. I mean, I named...
How he dances around all the time? I mean, good.
He is always in a rush. He's always in a rush to get somewhere,
yeah.
That Pearl. But I, of course, named my main character John. Did you name your main character Ryan?
What I think it's either Jasper or Rusty. I always give them funky names.
Okay.
I can take a look real quick.
It's
probably not my name.
I always name my John after myself, and I name my rival Ryan.
Yeah, I'm Rusty.
It seemed appropriate.
Oh, that's so sweetie. Yeah. I should have named him Faggot after you. So we're not talking about Pokemon.
No,
we're talking about your sexual proclivities. Okay, so
should we move on?
This one's a weird place. Especially, I'm the one that says John's gay.
Yeah. So I went with a.
You're the one who experiences that I'm gay.
Wait, what do you mean by experiences?
Don't worry about
it. Oh, buddy.
When you sleep, you know.
Oh,
like,
yeah. When I sleep. Shh. Didn't mean to wake
you. Do you ever like wake up in the morning and just feel the need to go?
Why does my jaw hurt?
I got some gum. I got the worst taste in my mouth.
Okay, so
let's move on.
On that note,
and I went with Piplup, who's
the gayest starter.
You think?
I mean, not really.
Well, he's gonna pick up Steel type later on.
Yes.
So yeah, that'll be nice. I named him Emperor because it is a penguin after all. I figured it'd be good to go ahead and have a water type. The game's not running out of water types, but hey, there it is. Got it already.
Yeah, and I named my Chimchar Patch, who will pick up the fire type for the second generation in a row. It won't be the last time either. So, did I say fire or did I say fighting?
Fighting. Remember. You said fire, but...
But yeah, he picks
up
the fighting.
We know you mean fighting.
Who's the third one? Who's the grass type in this one?
The grass type is Turtwig.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Who becomes a grass ground, and he's a really good grass type.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not feel the need to have one.
Yep.
Especially since I was really shooting for a Garchomp and I didn't want to double dip on ground.
Gotcha.
But anyway, you get your Pokemon, you're able to name it, and then you're able to actually move forward with the game. So Route 201 takes you west to Sand Gem Town. Mm-hmm. When you, there's, you know, your standard NPCs who give you advice. In Sand Gem, that's where the professor has his lab, which is... In the third gen, was the professor's lab in the hometown? Do you remember, Wes?
I believe it was.
I think this might be the first game where the lab isn't in your hometown.
Yeah, because there's four buildings. It's your house. It's the... Yeah. I'm pretty sure the top left of the main four buildings in Ruby Sapphire is the actual lab.
Sure. So this is a first for the series where the lab is not in your hometown. Doesn't really make a whole lot of difference in terms of story. You do have to go on this brief little errand where you have to bring a package back to your hometown, so it makes you kind of traverse that route a couple of times, probably for beginners, so you get used to moving throughout the world. Yep. But from Sand Gem Town, once you deliver that package, and I believe that it's for the rival, but once you do it, you also access your Pokedex, I believe. So then you get your two branching paths. You can go 219 south, which is just water. There's nothing there. But then you also get 202 north.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to move on to there? You got anything else for Sand Gem Town?
Have we started collecting yet? I mean, did you talk about what you picked up on 201?
Did we
get the Pokeballs yet?
You know what it is? It's you get the Pokedex right away, but then once you deliver the package, then you're able to buy Pokeballs at the Mart.
Okay.
It's like in the first gen games where for some reason unless you deliver the package, no one's gonna sell you Pokeballs.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and then actually once you're able to access Pokeballs, I just went back to Route 201 and had my first encounter, which was a Bidoof.
Alright.
Female at level 2, named her Beave.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was a little anticlimactic, a little disappointing, but...
Well, I mean, what are your options beyond that? I mean...
Starly.
I got Starly.
Yeah.
Named for Poe, because it's kind of... I don't know. It's not a raven, but hey, it's close enough, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
And in my version, you can actually...
It's still Murkrow.
Well, in my version, you can get a... Yeah, by the way, that is definitely the Poe, if there is one.
Yeah.
It should be that, but I mean, I didn't, you know...
Do we rank that as the best bird type, Wes? Hunchcrow?
Hunchcrow?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember.
It's high up there. Yeah. Anyway.
I know in my version there's actually a slim chance to get Krikatop, which is really awful that the game would do that.
Yes. How dare they?
I would rather get a Bidoof.
Krikatop, much like Seedot in the third generation, is a Pokemon that you got to be careful of because it'll use Bide.
Yeah.
And it can, you know, make an embarrassing KO.
Yeah.
To die to a Krikatop because they're pretty terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the landmine in this generation is also Geodudes. There's Geodudes all over the place in this generation.
So, Route 202, which is north from Sand Gem Town, I encountered a Shinx.
Nice.
Which I thought was a really lucky draw, because it was one that I really wanted to use. It was level 4 named... level 4 female named her Lucky.
Nice.
With an I instead of a Y, because why not?
Mm-hmm.
Did you pull anything good out of Route 202?
I also got a Shinx.
Nice.
There's a 30% chance to get a Shinx.
Yeah,
And
not
then
too
it
shabby.
Bidoof and Starlies, but I got a female. I named her Cleopatra, because it's, you know, something kind of associated with it.
Yeah, like a Sphinx in Egypt and stuff.
Yeah.
And stuff. Oh, I should have named mine Brendan Fraser.
Yeah? Oh, yeah, like a Blast from the Past.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking Airheads, but yeah. So, north of Route 202, Jubilee City. A couple of little distractions here. There's a trainer school. That's where you actually deliver the package to your rival. Because he wasn't back in the hometown. It turned out he had run away already, so you deliver that.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a couple of trainers that you can fight. They both have Abras. There's the GTS Center, which is a really fantastic addition to this generation. This is the first generation of Pokemon that had a GTS, first one that you could trade wirelessly over the internet, no cables, you can trade with anyone in the world. And it was a really interesting way of trading. So there are a couple of things you can do. You can either deposit a Pokemon and ask for something in return, and it can be, you know, whatever was currently in your Pokedex that you had encountered, you could ask for. And then you could also do a search, like, hey, I'm looking for an Abra. What are people asking for?
And you would see their side of the coin, what they were depositing these Abras for.
Right.
And see if you had that then.
Yeah, and it makes for, I guess, not really a super streamlined, but a really user-friendly way of doing things, rather than like having to like see who all is, I guess, online at the time, like have to send the messages like, hey, what do you want? Like, will you do this for this? Like, there's no negotiation involved. There's this is what I want. And, you know, there are people there who will like be offering a Bidoof and they want a Palkia.
Yeah. Some absurd request.
Right.
But I imagine those just sit around forever. Eventually.
Yeah. And what'll happen is the older they get, the more toward the bottom of the list they'll get. So you're always getting the freshest ones up front.
Yeah.
And, you know, most of the time people are pretty reasonable. And actually, this particular aspect of the game was one of the biggest reasons I chose to buy Pearl version back at the time. Because I predicted that Pearl version would be, less popular than Diamond version, which turns out to be correct. Diamond did sell better.
Just so, by name alone? Do you just figure exactly. People would rather have a Diamond than a Pearl?
Exactly. And I bought Heart Gold rather than Soul Silver for the exact same reason, because I figured Heart Gold would be the less popular version.
Yeah.
And it usually turns out to where some versions are more popular than others. I think the first Pokemon game that didn't have much of a disparity between like the sales of each version was Black and White. Those were probably pretty close. I thought that White would be the vastly less popular version, but they turned out to be pretty even. But I would do this because versions have different exclusive Pokemon.
Yeah.
For example, I think in Pearl version, one of the exclusives is a new Pokemon, Krogunk, who evolves into Toxicroak.
Poison fighting, right?
Poison fighting, yeah.
Yeah.
And I figured, like, hey, I give myself a trading advantage, especially over the internet, if I take the less popular version and have these Pokemon that not as many people have access to.
Yeah, that's true.
And it did give me quite a bit of trade advantages. I was able to stack up the starters pretty quickly once you're able to access the GTS, because you can't do it right away.
Yeah.
I forget at what point in the game you're actually able to access the GTS, but once you are, I mean, it's open season for trading. It's one of the best features that's continued in Pokemon games since from that point on. It sits still in there.
Well, I have virtually no experience with GTS outside of Pokemon X and Y, because I guess this is really... been, you know, me going getting whole hog into it, playing it especially online and stuff. But I don't know. It's great that it's been around for so long.
Yeah.
And it seems, from what you've been saying, relatively unchanged. It looks like the core mechanics of it, I guess there's just only thing is that it's decentralized now. You can go anywhere in the game and do it.
Yeah, which is great.
Box, but
which is great.
That's not that huge a deal.
Yeah. But just the fact that you don't have to fly to a city and then go through, like, talk to the person to have to do it and all that stuff. It's loaded a lot faster. I think the biggest change that they've actually put into the interface is now you can just type in the name of a Pokemon you're looking for, so it's something you haven't seen in your Pokedex.
Which then is you're still kind of frustrating when you're like, oh, how do I spell that?
Sure.
Or like, how the...
Yeah.
There was one where I left it for a couple days because I've been trying to complete the Pokedex and XY. And there's one I was like, for over a day it was there, and I was like, why hasn't this thing traded yet? And I realized it's because I typed it in wrong. Come on.
But it's such a rewarding experience to get what you were looking for.
Where it takes that extra few seconds, and you're like, oh,
you're like, yes, I think I got it. And then you see the Pokeball come down. Yeah, it's a really great feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So, anything super interesting about Jubilife City that you wanted to get to?
I just heard that I picked up a Quick Claw, which was nice.
Yeah.
I didn't grab the Old Rod. I know there's an Old Rod there, and I haven't done that yet.
There's an Old Rod where you have to take the exit west to Route 218, which you can't, you know, access the rest of the route until you have Surf. Uh-huh. But there's a guy you can talk to give you an Old Rod, which you can use to basically catch Magikarps.
Mm-hmm.
There is the one other thing in Jubilife that I wanted to get to, which was there's the three clowns that you have to find, and they give you the little apps for your watch.
Mm-hmm.
And there's
that's a novel little addition to this generation, by the way. I like some of those.
Yeah, there's not really a huge amount of really useful ones. Like, there's like two clocks.
Yeah.
And then there's one that'll like show you the most recent Pokemon that you used in battle. The most useful one is the step counter.
Absolutely. That step counter is awesome. I don't know why is it in X? I don't think so.
Like, I don't think
so, no.
It
was. It would be great, such a cool feature, because I do so much friendship. Like, I do so, just to like get friendship evolutions, I'll just, you know, stack a Soothe Bell on them and then just, you know, run them around the tower for
right.
like 10, 15 minutes. And usually that does it, but I'd like to be able, because I know it's about 25,000 steps. 25,000 steps will make anything friendly enough with you to evolve it.
Yeah. And it's a good way to be able to tell. That's how, I use that very feature in this game, which we'll get to in a little while.
I don't like the way they do the item finder. You know, there's the item, the thing that you have to like actually tap the screen.
Yeah, it's like a radar.
Which is annoying because, and we'll talk about more about the functionality of X later on. I think that was something we might get to. But in Platinum, they require you to use the buttons so much more. I'm so used to the stylus. I like being able to do everything I can with the stylus. Mm-hmm. And in that, like, it's just really, really annoying that you'd have to sit there and tap it. I don't even bother with it for that reason.
Because
I'm not going to sit there and micromanage trying to run around the screen, like, with one hand and then trying to tap it with the other and then pressing the buttons. It's too complicated.
The only real item finder that I've used was in Black and White because it was a really easy to use. Just as you were running around through the world, you could have the bottom screen just set to like...
yeah, as the two little rods.
Yeah, the two
it
little
just,
rods.
It just points you in the direction of the thing that you should... Like, that's how you would think it would work.
It was great. There were parts of the game where I would just run around like an open area, like, let's see if there's any items lying around you. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just not quite as user-friendly in this particular version. Mm-hmm. So from Jubilife City, you got the three options to leave. You got the west to 118, like we talked about. You could also go north to Route 204... which was a route that I took initially. There's a couple of trainers that you can fight there, but there's also the Ravaged Path, but you can't get through there until you get Rock Smash.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could also go east to 203.
Yeah.
And once you get there, or just before you get there, you have your first rival battle.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing really too special. It's your rival's pretty much got Starly plus the opposite of your starter.
Yeah.
And, yeah, pretty much Shinx was able to blast through.
Sparked them both.
Yeah, easily enough. Because, yeah, he had a flying and a water type versus mm-hmm. me. So.
Yeah.
Anything interesting for you happening around 203? You catch anybody?
I did. I got a Bidoof. Not that thrilled about, but I named him Rufus. You know, I figured he's got the buck teeth. For whatever reason, it made sense to me. But you could have gotten an Abra, Shinx, or a Zubat. Those are potential draws out of there.
Yeah.
Which would have been nice to have any of those. Or, I mean, I guess I already had the Shinx. I'd rather have another Shinx.
Yeah, which is exactly what I got.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I caught a male Shinx at level 4, named him Duo, mm-hmm. since I do have the two of them now. Which, spoilers for the next time we do a show, came in real handy.
Did he?
Yep. Lucky may or may not be long for this world.
Oh, no.
Mm. So... at the end of Route 203, as you continue moving east, is Orberg Gate. I did not catch something initially here, but I did have an encounter later on. But pretty much at this point, I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to draw, so I used a Repel to blast my way through.
Mm-hmm.
Anything interesting?
I did go ahead and grab one at the gate. I got a Psyduck.
Howard, nice!
Howard the Duck, yeah. 35
Psyduck.
Yeah, 35% chance to get that too, which is nice. Alternatives being Geodude. Meh, I don't really care about that.
Yeah,
Zubat. I'd have been cool with Zubat.
Yeah, Geodude. They're pretty plentiful throughout the game.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In Orberg City itself, there's a couple of main attractions. There's the museum, which is where you can get a fossil revived. Once you're able to access the underground, and once you dig them up,
mm-hmm.
and then there's also. The mine, which is where the gym leader is.
Yeah.
And in the mine is where I caught my first Geodude. Level 10 male, named him Tusk. Not sure why, just kind of seemed appropriate.
Yeah, that's a good name.
Kind of a tough, manly name, I suppose. But yeah, the mine's pretty short, just a couple of levels, and at the end there's the gym leader, and he said, okay, I'll go back and fight you now. And there's a couple of battles you can get into, mostly versus Machokes. Anything interesting for you happen?
Not really, no.
Catch anybody down on the mine?
I considered the mine as part of... Since I had the word Orber in it, I threw that all together into one thing. So I got... I guess I could have drawn other stuff, and I could go back, but...
Yeah, that...
I just counted Howard as my one draw for the whole thing.
Yeah, that seems fair.
Mm-hmm. And I look down upon you if you did. No, I'm kidding.
Well,
did you get anything?
I did actually catch something later on at Orberg Gate,
mm-hmm.
even though it does also have Orberg in the name, but it was another Geodude.
Yeah.
And actually, wait, no, I didn't even catch it. I KO'd it, because why would you want two Geodudes?
Yeah, pointless.
Which is something I ended up with anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's get into the first gym battle versus Rourke,
yeah.
who is a rock trainer, mm-hmm. and at the time, my team consisted of Shinx, and Chimchar.
That's a bad spot to be in.
Yeah, that was a real rough spot. And the smart thing to do would have been to move north from Orberg, and there's a patch of grass where you have a chance of catching a Machoke.
Mm-hmm.
Or not a Machoke, sorry, a Machop, which would give you a fighting type advantage versus rocks. But I suppose I did the dumb thing and decided to grind Bidoof into Bibarel.
Bibarel to get the, what, water gun or something?
To get, yeah, evolves at level 15, learns water gun. And it was a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
It took me what felt like hours to grind him up to level 15 against wild Pokemon. But, you know, once he did evolve and learned water gun, KO'd Rorik's Geodude, Onix, and Kranidos.
Yep.
And yeah, one hit KOs, just leveled the team.
Very nice.
Have not used it in battle since.
Yeah, I was in great position to get into this fight anyways. I mean, I had Emperor there. I think he was using Bubble even at that point.
All right.
Didn't matter. And by the way, like, on paper, I guess this is a decent enough team. Rourke's got a level 12 Geodude. He's got a level 12 Onix, and then a Kranidos at level 14, which can, you know, it can swing for quite a bit. But these moves, the move sets they give this thing are terrible. They get Rock Throw and Stealth Rock. Geodude and Onix do. Mm-hmm. Onix also gets Screech. But basically, these are all hazard moves. And then, like, Kranidos gets Pursuit, which is a Dark-type move, Headbutt, which is a normal, and then Leer. But considering that you're going to be one-hit KOing most of these things with... kind of, like you said, with anything that's got a water move.
Yeah, anything that's water special, which is...
And you're not going to be training out Pokemon a lot, so it's just
right.
Like you're going to throw in the best thing that's got the best move, and they're going to either win it or lose it for all.
So one thing that is worth mentioning about the 6th gen, or I'm sorry, the 4th gen, which is the game we're Nuzlocking, is that they actually draw the distinction between a physical attack and a special attack.
So, that is a big deal.
Yeah, in previous generations, it's probably the biggest change that they made to the actual formula of the game, or the mechanics of the game.
Mm-hmm.
In previous generations, it was just dependent on the move type, is what determined, and that was determined by your special.
All right,
your
like
special
so,
attack.
So Psychic was a special.
Psychic
rock
was always
was
special.
Yeah,
exactly. Fire was always special. Dark was always special when they introduced the Dark type in the second generation. And that was something that, I think I've mentioned this on podcast before, it kind of crippled Gyarados a little bit. Because in the first generation, of course, Gyarados is a fucking beast.
Mm.
Once he evolves to level 20 and learns Bite, you can pretty much ride that through most of the game because his physical attack is so amazing. But then once you hit the second generation... and Bite becomes a Dark-type move, that's determined by special attack. Gyarados doesn't really have that. So, then once you get to the fourth generation here, Bite is still a Dark-type move, but then it becomes Physical Dark. So that becomes a really useful move for Gyarados again.
Yeah.
And that is the case with a lot of different types of moves, where you have the distinction between, okay, this is a special fire move, and he has high special attack. This is a physical fire move. His physical attack isn't all that great, so you can kind of make that strategy choice between which moves you're going to be using.
Well, it makes it fun to visualize a move like Power Gem,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is just a gnarly rock attack, but it's a rock special
right.
attack. So it's not like they're just throwing a boulder at your face or something.
Yeah.
It's actually got to be this, I don't know, this non-physical way of attacking you with rock.
Yeah. which is cool. And then I think there's also... moves like Focus Blast,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think it got introduced in this generation, but it is a special fighting. So it's a move that is fighting types, or using some sort of martial arts, but not physically.
Yeah.
You're...
some sort of, like, mind move.
Right.
Like mind assault.
But not psychic. It's,
yes.
It's not as
precisely. It's a very thin line. These people at Game Freak, they really know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're not just making this shit up as they go.
Lot of nuance. A lot of nuance is going into this.
All right, so we are, what, are we on Route 207 yet? Is that where we moved to?
207 is north of Orberg,
mm-hmm.
which I did not actually go to yet, but you can. You're blocked from going too far north because there is a path of dirt
mm-hmm.
that you can only ride up on a bike, and you don't have a bike at this point.
All
right. So did you catch anything early on in the game in 207?
I did, and by the way, like this is, I brought it up, that this is the first time I started using the rappel trick. And the repel trick is really useful when you're doing Nuzlocks because it lets you refine the type. Because the way the repels work is they don't mean that nothing is going to encounter you. It's only things that are weaker than you.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, let's say that you're in an area that's going to have spawn chance of three different type. One is 4 to 6, or two or 4 to 6, but then one is 5 to 7. If the one at the front of your party is level 7 and you're using repels, the only thing that will ever appear is whatever that one that's level 7.
Right.
So it's a guaranteed draw.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that it's going to work every single time. It's like oftentimes that's not the way the levels break down. But what you can do is sort of filter out the things you don't want and give yourself a better chance to get things you do want. So this was my first attempt at doing it at Route 207, and it worked very well for me because I got Ponyta.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, named Her Ruffian.
Yep.
Which is a very famous racehorse.
And Ponyta is the other fire type available in the game that we were talking about before.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, this is over a Machop, Geode, and a Geodude. There might have been some other stuff, but...
Yeah, whatever.
That's the real winner.
It's probably like Krikatata.
Yeah, I'm really glad I got that Ponyta, because... I don't know, I was kind of worried since you brought it up. There really are only a couple of fire types in this, so...
Yeah, yeah.
Getting one is nice to have.
And I don't know about Platinum, because I haven't actually looked at the available Pokedex for Platinum, but in Pearl version, it's Chimchar and Ponyta.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two, and one's a starter, so if you don't pick it at the start, you're out of luck.
You brought it up earlier, I do get that Eevee, so that's kind
of...
Oh,
that's true.
Wanted to make it a fire, but I don't think I'm going to do that.
Well, Flareon is very solid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Flareon is kind of a mage killer, because it's got very high physical attack and very high special defense.
Mm-hmm.
So, it especially going up against high special attack, like Kadabra, it can hold its own. So, after you're done with Orberg, you have to move back through the gate and back through 203. Then you're able to head north from, what's the name of the town? Jubilife, to Route 204. And that's the one I mentioned before. It goes to Ravage Path, which you need Rock Smash to get. You're able to use Rock Smash once you finish the first gym battle. So now you can kind of backtrack back through that area and access more stuff. On Route 204, I actually encountered a Bidoof at level 4, and I killed it because I didn't care. And oh, this is also where Lucky the Shinx evolved into Lucky the Luxio, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
And anything interesting for you happen on Route 204?
I did get another draw. I got a fit with a 15% chance. I got a female Bidoof. I named her Jasmine, so I don't know.
Oh, okay, the grass type.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be too much use later on. We'll see, but currently, at least up to this point, it's sitting in my box at, level 18?
Was Roserade in this one? Yeah, Roserade was the first game with Roserade. She's actually not that bad. Mm-hmm. I've used a Roserade before. It's just Bidoof evolves via friendship, so
that's
the annoying thing.
You had Roserade on your poison team.
I did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It did pretty well.
So,
by the way, nice of them to give you that Soothe Bell early on, so you can get some of this going. And God, there's so many friendship evolutions.
There's a lot,
Tons of them.
There's
everywhere.
There's Riolu, there's Bidoof, there's the Golbat.
Mm-hmm. Golbat to Crobat, Happiny to Chansey.
Happening.
There's a Togepi down the line.
Mm-hmm.
At
least in Platinum, anyway.
Yeah. God, there's just this level.
And then in the Ravage Path, now that you have Rock Smash, you can get through. I encountered a Zubat at level 4 male. I named him Sheriff Junior after my...
Oh, cute, because you had one in the other run.
Yeah, in the third generation. And Sheriff took him all the way to Elite 4, in which he died.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of bought it against the champion there.
Yeah.
But anything for you in Ravage Path?
I also encountered a Zubat and then accidentally killed it.
Yeah,
so
there's lots more.
Boo.
There are tons of Zubats in this game.
That didn't go so well.
Once you're out of the Ravage Path, you are...
Floroma?
Floroma.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you first encounter berries in this particular game. So you can plant and water
and
harvest.
So you cannot use those.
Right.
So you can walk past those every time you see them.
Yeah.
Gotta nope my way on by them.
There is one other thing going on in Floroma. Kind of a... Yeah, there's the one story event where the northwest corner is blocked off by Team Galactic members, and you'll be back there a little bit later. But nothing super interesting in that town.
Did you want to bring up Punny? Is now a good time to bring up Punny?
Yeah, sure, go for it, yeah.
This is a good, cheap way to get just a free Pokemon, because it's an area isolated by itself with no patches of grass, but it has that tree that you can slather with honey, and it gives you... I think you have to just wait like 6 hours of real time, and then a random Pokemon is going to appear from a set. And it's a lot of, bad bug types that you wouldn't really want, but you can get some good stuff. For example, you could get a Heracross. There's a 3.5% chance to get a Heracross.
God damn.
And I think there are ways to increase that. Like, depending geographically. Like if you're in a more rocky area, mm-hmm. you have a higher chance of getting a hair grass. It's not a super high chance. It's still pretty low. Yeah. But
oh, and two of the trees, I think there's 19 total of these that can be done, that you can do this to. Two of them are going to have a Muchlax. So you could get a Snorlax out of it eventually. Yeah. So I did it. This is probably the one and only time I'm going to do it, because every other one is on a route with better things to catch. And I got probably the rarest possible thing one can get out of these. I got a female Combee.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which is a 3.3% chance.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Yeah, so I'm pretty happy about that. What did I gave her a great name. Victoria. Yeah, like Queen Victoria. It's a B.
Seems appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in...
like I said, it's a great name.
Yeah, fantastic. Let's...
You're so wise.
I'm going to go catch one right now and name it the same thing.
No, you're verbal. I mean, if you get a Heracross, don't name it Victoria.
No, I'm going to. So, east of Floroma, it's Route 205.
Mm-hmm.
There's a story event going on there, too. There's a little girl who takes you... whose dad works at Valley Woodworks, which is blocked by a Team Galactic member. And Valley Woodworks, there's a way you can get a guaranteed Pokemon there as well. But what you need to do is you need to go into Valley Woodworks. There's a couple, I think just one or two battles against Team Galactic.
Mm.
I got to get my story facts straight here. There's a Team Galactic member outside of it, and I think you fight him, but the door is locked.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to backtrack toward Floroma, and you get the key from the guys who are blocking the northwest corner of that town.
Yes.
So, once you're finally able to get into Valley Woodworks, there's a couple more of Team Galactic members to fight, and then it opens up 205 north
mm-hmm.
to the next area. So, anything... let's start with Valley Woodworks. Did you catch anyone there?
I did. I got a Boozeal.
Oh, nice.
Female, named her Tail.
Yeah.
What you could have done if you would wanted one, there is a chance to get a level 12 Shellos, or Shellos.
Hmm.
So it's the one of a kind. There's no other level 12, so that's a guaranteed get.
Gotcha.
Other than that, there's also a Pachirisu, which would have been kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a one-form electric, and mm-hmm. I mean, it's clearly not the best electric in the game.
Obviously.
But there is actually another way to guarantee that you'll get something, and that is to wait until Friday. When the day of the week is Friday in the game,
mm-hmm.
you can go there and there is a Drifblim sitting outside.
Oh, is that what you did?
That's exactly what I did. And it actually was not a fun battle. It was at a higher level than I was expecting. And actually, I don't think I caught it right at this particular juncture of where we are in the story. I think I backtracked a little bit later on.
Mm-hmm.
But... yeah, I backtracked after beating the second gym, but I might as well talk about it now since the subject is up. It was, the wild one was at level 24, which is right around the same level my guys are at. So I was trying to balance between not killing it and not letting any of my Pokemon die either. And I had most of my party members in the yellow.
The moveset on your Luxio, but I mean, you don't even get shock. It's like it's spark and
spark,
then charge up. For
yeah,
that
which
too. So
and then all Luxio's Luxio's a good one to throw against it, but then you're also trying to play the balance here. Like I don't want to do too much damage and kill this thing incidentally.
Can it curse?
No,
okay.
No, it doesn't curse. But I did eventually catch one level 22. It was named her Red.
Mm-hmm.
I think because I was watching Orange is the New Black at the time, and
yeah.
Kate Mulgrew was kind of ballooned up a little bit. Seemed appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was really mean.
It's terrible if you do.
She's not even here.
Yeah, take a jab at her.
How dare I?
Another fan lost.
So, I actually also caught a Boozeal on Route 205, though. A female, level 9, and I named her... oh, shit, now I forget what I named her. I'll look that up. Did you catch anything on 205?
Well, you kind of glanced over the battle against the Galactic Commander.
Oh, yeah, please.
This was actually a tough spot for me, because I made a really dumb mistake. I did something really, really stupid.
What'd you do?
You know how the Galactic Commander has that Perugly?
Yeah.
Its ability is Defiant, which means that if you try to lower its stats in any way, it increases its attack by twice.
Uh-huh.
I was like, let's just go into the long haul with this one and growled it. So, in doing so, upped its attack twice. It was getting bullshit crits all day long. This was a really long, frustrating battle, and it resulted in 2 deaths.
Oh, no.
So I lost the Booziel that had just got Tails in her very first battle. So that sucks. Sucks for her. I mean, she had a good run. She was just minding her own business. Some a-hole put her in a Pokeball and then killed her immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And Rufus ate it as well, because I didn't really...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So somebody's got to take the hit so you can use a potion on somebody else.
Yeah, live by the sword, die by the sword.
Yep. So on Route 205, I caught the Buzo on my own, named her Rain.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually rode with her as a water type for quite a while.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a very solid water type. Very offensively heavy, though. Not much defense.
One of the gym leaders later on has a float soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a really solid offensive Pokemon. If you can... It's very quick, but if you can get a super effective move in on it, it's not going to last long in battle, though.
Yeah, that is true.
So, the next area...
Eternal Forest?
Eternal Forest.
Oh, man, this place is awesome.
Yeah, this is a really, really fun area to go through.
It's nonstop experience.
Yep.
It is the easiest, fastest way to grind quickly, and you're also paired up with Cheryl, who's sporting a Chansey. So after every battle, you're healing up anyways. It's double battles, so double the experience. Just the easiest autopilot battles possible, and you also get those Beautifleys and Dustox. They're paying out close to 1,000 experience every time, which is guaranteed level.
Yeah, when you're encountering them, you're really raking in the EXP.
Yeah, so that was great. I don't even think I got anything from this area. Oh no, I did. I drew from one of the double battles. I had my pick of two, and I got a Cascoon out of it.
Okay,
named this one Sepsis. I don't know if you remember in the last one, I have one called Toxemia, so it's all poison diseases.
So it's cool that you kind of get that option between the two Pokemon. I had a double battle against a Bunnery and a Badoo. I chose to go with Badoo. Caught her, I believe, at level 9, named her Ivy. And again, this is a Pokemon that I ended up using a little bit later on for a little bit. But you know, it seemed like the appropriate choice to make to get the grass type, someone who's going to be a little bit more specialized rather than just kind of a straight normal type in Bunnery.
Mm-hmm. Just for a note, you could have also gotten a Ghastly or Hoothoot, which would have been kind of cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And a Soothe Bell. You pick up the Soothe Bell because you're going to be needing that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I found a lot of use out of it.
Then once you're out of the forest, you're still on Route 205. It's east.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of battles here, nothing really super noteworthy, but the one note that I did make about this particular area is that there's that one guy who's in every game,
mm-hmm.
who's a fisherman, and he's got 6 Magikarps.
Oh, Jesus.
And what are you doing with your life, dude,
mm-hmm.
that you're sitting there with 6 Magikarps?
It's such a waste of time.
Yeah, and it's such an empty battle because you're not getting any experience from it, and it takes so long because you're basically just having to use 6 moves from it.
Yeah.
The only time these type of fishermen have been beneficial was back in Silver and Gold when you got the phone number for the one guy who had all the Magikarps.
Uh-huh.
Because then eventually you can go back and refi them and they're all Gyarados.
I like that you walked back up to the
yeah, I did add. Also, in X and Y, I also had just beat a fishman who had nothing but Magikarps.
Unbelievable.
Yesterday.
It's in every damn game.
Every freaking game.
Except in the 5th generation because there are no Magikarps.
Oh, wow.
So...
Sweet bats.
Or they're like those Basculin fish. I don't know if that's the correct pronunciation.
Waste of time.
Yeah, because they're one form. Like, why are we?
Well, do you want a red one or a blue one?
Yeah, great. That's fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we at the point in Pokemon games where there's still just one forms?
Yeah.
Like, why doesn't everyone have an evolution just yet? Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Also, I'm not quite sure because I don't really want to spend the energy it would take to fly back there and try using the Verse Seeker. But maybe if you use a Verse Seeker on him later on, his Pokemon will have magically evolved into Gyarados and actually get something out of them.
That would be nice.
So, anything for you about Route 205 East in general?
Nah, not really much to report.
So, then just east of Route 205 is Eterna City.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that happens there, you get a little story event where you get HM1, which is cut from Cynthia,
mm-hmm.
who is an important character later on in the game. But yeah, other than that, there's a couple of things.
You get an underground kid, which I'm not even fucking with.
Yeah, underground is an area in the game that you're able to dig up things like evolution stones, or you can dig up like your fossil from that version of the game. Mm-hmm. And heart stones, which are great. Yeah. Heart stones are really valuable things to have. Early on in the game, it's a little tough to move through because you're not getting a really huge variety of things. A lot of things that you're digging up are like those little prism stones, which are absolutely worthless unless you really interested in building your secret base underground, like filling it with different types of furniture and dolls.
Something I've never been into.
Right.
Well, you need a place to plot your world domination.
That's true.
Need a secret lair.
I suppose.
You don't have a secret lair, John?
No, I don't. I have a
house. We don't have a house. Yeah, like a house with bathrooms and beds. And,
right.
You know, central air and heat.
Right. And you do have a house in Pokemon. You have a home that you are from. Your Pokemon can fly. It's real easy to get back there.
Yeah.
Anybody, you know, for some reason, like, hey,
as a parent to cook you meals,
right?
Maybe do your laundry.
Well, it's just kind of a silly area. But once you expand the Pokedex, it actually expands what's down there as well. You can actually dig up fossils from previous versions of the game. You can get fossils from Kabuto and Omanyte from the first generation. Mm-hmm. And you can also dig up the third generation fossils, but I think like your fourth generation exclusive fossil is always going to be down there. You're never going to cross between the two. And actually,
there's an interesting how it's determined. It's actually determined in this generation. You don't just get to pick which one you want, which I think is how it used to be in the past. Mm-hmm. It's determined by whether or not the last number of your trainer ID is odd or even.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really funny.
That was bizarre. Like, I don't know why they did that.
Yeah, it's a little strange, but. It's
Did you guys bother doing that? Because free Pokemon.
Do not care.
Nope, sure didn't. And actually, you know, if you wanted to dig up your fossil, I guess it counts as.
Yeah, I think it'd be fine. I get a shield on if I do.
Me too. I should check my trainer ID number. The first time I played through the fourth generation, I got a shield on, and I actually farmed those quite a bit and set them out on the GTS and got a bunch of Pokemon that way.
Nice.
Just as a quick side note before we move on with Eterna City, the guy with the Magikarps on Route 205, nope, still Magikarps.
Oh, really?
Still, yeah, I'm fighting him right now.
That is a bummer.
Still Magikarps. Thanks for nothing.
Have fun working those guys down.
Are they at least higher level?
No, they sure aren't.
Well, you know.
I just got 42 experience from this one.
Don't go spending that all in one place.
Right.
And remember, in this version we're playing, you're murdering them.
I sure am.
So he's just pulling more out of the ocean. Just for you to cut him down.
I'm going to keep doing it, too. I'm going to make this Pokemon extinct. So how did your gym battle go in Eterna City?
It actually went really, really well. That's grass type, right?
Yes.
My
gym leader had Badoo, Turtwig, and Rosalia.
I had a level 20 Ponyta at the time. So Ruffian was just flame wheeling the shit out of everything, and they all died, and it was horrific. Oh, it was fantastic.
The humanity.
Yeah.
Yeah, Patch, my, Infernape, not Infernape. What's the one? Monferno is between Chimchar and Infernape. My Monferno, one hit KO'd everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't even a contest.
Oh, yeah. If you had any, like, this is your gym. This is the one where you're going to just, like, put them in their place.
So, after I beat that gym, I did a little bit of backtracking, which I'll take this side note really quick. This is when I went and got Red, the Drifloon. I also went into the Old Chateau, which is in Eterna Forest, because I was like, hey, I can use Cut now, so I'm going to go into there, and I'm going to snag myself a free Ghost. Mm-hmm. And I encountered a Ghastly, a male level 13.
Nice.
And
I got a Ghastly as well.
I didn't say I got it. I said I encountered it.
Oh, no.
Because...
what'd you do to this poor thing? It's already dead.
Well, I attacked it, and it went down to yellow, and I was like, perfect. I'm just going to chuck a Pokeball at this thing next turn. The first goddamn move that it used, Curse. It cursed itself to death.
Yep. Ouch.
And goddamn it, I wanted this Ghastly.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. So, I got nothing out of the Old Chateau, which...
At this point, I have a ton of Pokeballs. Like, a lot of these, I just chuck them. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll just chuck them 10, 15 if needed.
Yeah.
I don't even risk attacking them most of the time.
I do sometimes, but I never risk letting them get too low, because I don't want to crit hit my way out of something that I want.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do the same thing. I hit them once or twice, and then, you know, sometimes I got to chuck 6, 7, 8 Pokeballs to get something. And, you know, occasionally you'll find, like, a great ball or an Ultra Ball lying on the ground somewhere.
Yeah.
And that, it, when that's the case, you know, you...
Well, they're only... I buy Heal Balls because they're only 300. I mean, they're actually dirt cheap.
Yeah.
And if you're just willing to invest the time, even if it is, like, a, you know, 2% chance to catch, I'd rather just...
Yeah, and have it be immediately
useful. Unless I know for certain I'm not going to take this thing down.
Right. So...
Yeah, so I got my Ghastly female, named her Soliel, which is, you know, like the sun.
Yeah.
This ball of gas. You also get a rare candy, and there's a galactic fight. I thought this was interesting.
Is there?
I had one involving a level 23 stun tank.
I don't think I encountered that one.
Shouldn't exist, because they evolve at level 34.
Yeah, that happens a lot in these games.
So that was... I just,
it's a genetic impossibility.
Yeah.
This is also when I backtracked myself to Flora Romantown because I put some honey on a tree and it's like, hey, I'm going to get a Pokemon out of Flora Romantown. And it was a Cascoon, a level 10 female. I didn't want it, so I killed it.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm done with Dustox for a little while. Thanks.
Oh, by the way, one other thing that does happen in Eterna City, this is a platinum-only event, and I was fucking thrilled when it happened. I am just gifted a Togepi.
Nice.
Just give me one. They're like, hey, you've been such a great trainer so far. We're going to pat you on the head here and give you a Togepi.
Well done.
Oh, so I was still... And you guys know I love Togepi. Togepi is the shit. I named it Bomber. And it's also got a quiet nature, so increased special attack, decreased speed. So, and now that I have the poke attack with the steps, like, it's perfect. Just keep it in the party, and that was my default screen until I hit 25k.
Nice.
Mm.
So... Well, when you were talking about that Skunk Tank battle, was that actually in the Old Chateau, or was that back in Eterna City?
I have it listed with Old Chateau, but it might have just as easily occurred in Eterna City.
Okay, yeah.
Did you have a battle with one? Or
I had a battle against... And there's a Team Galactic building in Eterna City.
Oh, at the north part of the town, right?
Right, and that's where...
That might have been where this happened.
That's where I battled a Team Galactic member that had a Zubat and a Skunk Tank.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that would make sense.
But anyway, anything else before we move on to Route 206?
Nope, Route 206.
Okay, so Route 206 is the bike path. There's some trainers there. There's also the underpath, which is a good place to catch a Ponyta, among some other Pokemon. And like we mentioned before, it's the only other fire type. I was actually pretty excited. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go get a Ponyta. I have backup fire type. It's going to be great. And I instead encountered another Geodude.
Ouch.
Which is my
third. That's your third.
That's
third
my third Geodude.
Right?
This one, I decided to just go ahead and catch. It's a little 14 male named Cargo. The also other really big noteworthy thing about this area is this is where Wayward Cave is.
Yeah,
which is a really great place to grab yourself a Gible.
It is.
Which I was not able to just yet, because I did not have. There's a couple of entrances. To Wayward Cave. There, you got your main entrance, which is a little story event that you can participate in early in the game if you have Flash or if you just feel like fumbling around in the cave. But there is a trainer in the main floor of the cave way up in the northeastern corner.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get to that trainer, you're able to walk around with them. And it's another double battle situation.
Oh, okay, cool.
Or they'll, you know, heal your Pokemon as you explore around. But... I didn't enter just yet because I wanted to give myself the best chance of getting a Gible as possible. So I held off for a little while. And plus, the hidden entrance, once you walk into the hidden entrance, you're blocked by 5 boulders that you need strength for. And I was not able to use strength at this point. So, Route 206. Let's kick it over to you. Anything?
So Route 206, yeah. Yep. You're sure enough, got another Ponyta. So how about that?
Nice.
Yeah, I got a male this time, so that's nice. I have a male and a female. And I named this one Thrush. Thrush is also a very famous racing horse. Also, there's an EXP share. It's always useful to have that.
So oh, yeah.
Grab that item. Absolutely. That's an essential piece of any Nuzlocking toolkit.
Yep.
I did go into, not the Wayward Cave, the Wayward Hidden Cave. Which, you know, there's the main entrance.
Yeah.
There's this sneaky little thing they do where, tucked away about 3 spaces to the right, is this sort of hidden alcove that you can go into. And there's this hidden spot. And then you walk in right away, and then you're like, oh, this is a dark room. So you, your first instinct is to leave. But if you just go to the left a few spaces, you go into the next level of the cave, of the hidden cave, which now you don't need. It's just, like, full lit. Like, it's this weird trick they're playing on you.
Now, that's an interesting... I guess that's the difference between Platinum and Pearl, because when I go to that hidden entrance, I'm immediately blocked by those boulders.
Oh, and mine is just It's a thing where you would think you'd need flash, but the room itself is like 5 squares by 5 squares anyways.
Yeah,
so
it's
kind of pointless.
And it's also a darkly lit room, but once you're able to push the boulders out of the way, you go that few steps to the left, and then you're into the next area where it's fully lit.
Yeah. Okay, and well, this was also the perfect time to give the rappel trick a shot. Mm-hmm. By the way, you don't have to go deeper into it. It's just right off the bat you have a chance to draw a Gible.
Yeah.
Level 19 is the sweet spot. You know, that's where the money gets made. And sure enough, holding my Gible.
Nice.
Really happy about that. And there's also good stuff you can get here. You can get a bronze or an onyx. Of course, there's Geodudes, but who gives a shit?
Right.
But on top of that, the gifts keep on coming. You get a Dust Stone, a Grip Claw, Rare Candy, and the TM Earthquake.
Here you go. Which you should immediately teach to your Gible.
Yeah. Does it not learn it automatically? If not, I'd probably know.
I don't know.
The moveset on my
guy. I can't remember on that.
The moveset on my guy right now is bullshit. It's actually really bad. And it's at level, 32? And right now I am running with... Hang on. Yeah, Dragon Rage. It's okay. Rock Smash, Cut, and Sandstorm. Yep, so,
kind of got...
can't do much of anything, really.
Yeah, you got a couple of HMs on that guy. Mine, just to give you a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel there, mine's at level 43. Dragon, which I guess spoilers for a later Nuzlocke show, I caught a Gible. Mine's got Dragon Claw, Earthquake, Dig, and Sandstorm. And Sandstorm might hang on to a little while because it's got the ability Sand Veil, which is cool.
That's good.
So,
that's like a key feature. When we did our little ground type ranking, like that was a key feature of all the great grounds is they all exploit the sand in some way, the sandstorm in some way.
Yeah, which is weird that it's a rock move, but anyway.
Yeah, digress.
So, on Route 206, it dumps you back off at the southern end to Route 207, which is also... kind of the Orberg city area. Route 207 will take you east to Mount Coronet, which is... also, just as a side note, I decided to take a crawl through the grass on Route 207, where you caught your Ponyta, and I caught myself a Machop, level 5 male.
Sweet.
Named him Veej.
Well, here's the thing. Route 207 has a ton of really cool stuff you can get. Clefairy, Zubat, Machop, 5% chance for a Nosepass, 10% chance for a Metatite. A Bronzor is 20% chance. That's great. I got a Chingling, so there's that.
I don't think that Nosepass is available in Diamond and Pearl. I think it might be a Platinum one.
This might be the Platinum thing.
Yeah.
Lots of different stuff you can get. I named her Bellhop. And again, this is another friendship
appropriate.
So.
Yeah.
Because it's the two things it does. It's a bell and it hops.
Gible does not learn Earthquake at all. Anything.
At all? All right, that's a
the
good
best,
use of a TM.
The best Earth move Garchomp learns is Dig.
Which is unfortunate, but it is what it is.
So, yeah.
And there we go. The more you know.
Can learn
you.
Some of them their TMs. So...
I've been hoarding my TMs. I don't think I've used a single one yet.
Before we get to Mount Coronet, I actually took a little sidestep. I went back up to Eterna and went through the east exit to Route 211 and wanted to see what was up there. On Route 211, I encountered and caught a Metatite level 13 male named Nilla.
Nice.
And what 211 does, there's a couple of battles there, and then it'll also take you east, also to Mount Coronet, which Mount Coronet kind of divides the map in half. But you can't go through the northern entrance there at Route 211 because it's blocked by boulders. You need to use strength. So Route 207 to Mount Coronet's the way to go. And in there, in the south entrance to Mount Coronet, near Route 207, there's this weird blue-haired dude that you encounter. He says something. I think it turns out to be like a Team Galactic member later on in the game. I think that's Cyrus from Team Galactic. But anyway, just kind of a funny little story event. Mount Coronet is actually pretty short if you're just moving like from the west end to the east end or vice versa. Its biggest, I guess, traversal is when you're moving north-south, which you need quite a few... HMs in order to really explore that area efficiently.
That is one of, this is a gripe I have with this generation. So much HMs. Much HM. Like Rock Climb, I didn't even know that was an HM you had to use.
Rock Climb, I think, was introduced in this generation, if I'm not mistaken. And then I think the only other generation has come back in is the remakes of Gold and Silver. And then after that, they ditched it, which... You know, I think there are a total of 8 HMs in this game. And yeah, it's one of my biggest gripes of the two. Because one of them, Defog, oh, goddammit, it is so...
Yeah.
They just have these intentionally foggy areas. And so far, I've encountered two. Two of these foggy areas. One is the area, I believe, above Route 210, I think it is, where the Psyducks are there and they're blocking your way.
Hmm.
There's a story event that allows you to get the Psyducks out of the way, and then you're actually able to go on that route. But then they also make it foggy.
Just so to this piss you off.
Yeah, so this area was inaccessible before. It was like, oh, and by the way, go find this random HM that you get to from talking to a random person mm-hmm. near the Safari Zone. And if you didn't, you're going to have a rough time moving through this area. So you basically... The HM doesn't impede your progress as far as, like, the story of the game or the general progression of the game. You can get through it without it. But it's a pain in the ass because not only does it make it hard to move through the area, it also, I believe, lowers your accuracy when you have those random encounters with Pokemon or trainer battles because it's foggy.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, I do not approve of the amount of HMs in this game.
Yes.
So
where are we at right now?
208. With okay. a short little hop over to Hearthorn City.
Mm-hmm.
Have any encounters there?
I repelled at level 19 to ensure that I either get a Zubat, a Rosalia, or a Bibarel.
Uh-huh.
There's a rat, routes there, but it's also a really low probability.
In Platinum only.
Oh, then, yeah. Yeah, and I got my Zubat.
Okay.
Yeah, named for Dr. Acula.
Of course.
Yeah, that's a good name.
Appropriate.
Yep, so, also immediately got the soothe belt put on her. I was like, okay, let's go ahead and get you a Crobat. As quick as possible, pat her head a few times, and then we roll on.
Yep, Crobat is, Crobat's a killer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Very high speed, very high attack.
Mm-hmm.
So, Hearthorn City. Hearth Home City.
Hearth, yes.
Hearth Home City.
Hearth Home Home.
Yeah.
City.
How Now Brown Cow.
It's a fantastic name for a city, by the way. Very warm and inviting.
Torchwood's Night, a big lung.
I think this... Thanks for that. I think that... what are you looking for my...
Your internet.
Up top, first one.
There you go, polar bear.
It's the usual password.
Mm-hmm.
Hearth Home City, I think this is probably one of the biggest deviations between the versions.
Yeah.
Because there are a couple of things that happen in mine that I'm not sure happen in yours, and then there and vice versa. There's a few things that you can do.
Yeah, well, for starters, I actually have a gym encounter immediately here, and you have to go to the next gym, figure something out, and then come back for this one.
Yeah, this is, I think, your third, this is your third gym, whereas it would be my fifth.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's actually quite a bit that happens between, actually it might even be the sixth,
mm-hmm.
Because I think there are a few other things that you need to do before you're able to fight the ghost leader gym. But let's talk about how your gym battle went.
Well, for sure, before you get into the gym battle.
Yeah, sure.
Again, just being that this is Platinum and they're being very friendly to me, they just give me an Eevee. They're like, here's an Eevee, a level 20.
Thanks for buying the same game twice. Here's Eevee.
So I named him. It was a male. It was the 85% chance of being a male. I named him Frost. So guess what my plans are with that?
I wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a
Leafeon. No, I'm going for the Glaceon, but that's not going to happen until way later.
Yeah, that's just before the 7th gym. Mm-hmm. You'll encounter that. And actually, that's something that I can't do, even though they're like the Leafeon and Glaceon are the two like Eevee additions to this generation. I can't actually get them until after I expand the national decks in Pearl because, Eevee's not available. So.
Okay, but as for the gym was nothing, really. It's ghost types, Cleopatra, my Luxio at the time, new bite, so that's an easy advantage. And then also, I think one of them is like a Drifloom, so it's a flying type.
Yeah.
As well, so just lots of zaps. And you get Shadow Claw out of it, which is great. I think Shadow Claw's a great move.
Yeah, Shadow Claw is, it's an interesting move because generally a lot of ghost types have high special attack, which is this is a physical ghost move.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, it's a good thing to put on things that aren't ghosts.
Yeah.
I've always found.
Yeah.
Like, I've just, it's something that, because it's also a TM and an XY, so it's just something that I tack on because it's a good, meaty, physical with crit.
Yep. So, my experience in Hearth Home City is a little bit different. The first thing that happens is that there is a guy that will give you an egg. And in this egg, it hatches into a Happiny, who of course becomes Chansey.
That is sweet.
So,
that I don't get, by the way, but that's awesome.
But Chansey, I decided that this is a Pokemon that I might want to try to use. So in order to kind of keep with the spirit of the Nuzlocke, I ran around Hearth Home City quite a bit until it hatched. Hmm. Because that's where I got the egg, so that's where I'd hatch it. So when I'm looking through, if I'm ever looking through my roster of Pokemon and I'm looking at where I caught Pokemon, and I'm trying to like fill in a blank, like, hey, maybe I haven't caught a Pokemon in this particular route. It's a little bit more easy to tell where I've gotten guys and where I haven't if I'm just hatching it where I got the egg. Mm-hmm. And anyway, that was my thinking of it. There's a couple of things that you can do in this town in general. There's you can get a Poffin case, which you can use to turn berries into little Poffins, which are useful for maxing out like beauty attributes. Hmm. For things like contests, and the only really thing I've ever found that useful for is to max out Phoebus's beauty stat and turn him into a Milotic, because I've never really participated in contests. There is a contest hall in this city, and that's where you first encounter the gym leader in Diamond and Pearl. She'll be right out in front. You don't have to participate in any contests, but you do have to at least enter the contest hall, because then that will trigger a rival battle and also allow you to exit the town, because before the exit of the town is blocked. Mm-hmm. Rival battle, again, no big deal. He generally trails you quite a bit when it comes to levels. So even though I guess if you're like trying to train a team of six Pokemon, it might be similar levels to him, but since you know we're not going through the game and just having a massive team throughout the entire thing, mm-hmm. a pretty significant level advantage. There's also Amity Square, which is a place where you can take certain Pokemon for walks, and it'll also increase the efficiency of how much each step is increasing their friendliness. It's heightened friendliness area. Mm-hmm. There's also a couple of TMs that you can find in there, nothing really super noteworthy. And then once you're done with the rival battle I mentioned before, you have a couple of options. You can go... Actually, no, you really don't have the one option. You can go east out of Hearthhome to Route 209, mm-hmm. or you can go out the south gate to Route 212, but the south gate is blocked by a camera crew.
Yeah.
So can't really do anything there. Any other notes about Hearthhome that you want to make before we move to Route 209?
No, very, very generous town.
Yep, sure. Yeah, a lot going on. I think this is one of the two.
One?
I think it might be the biggest. It's either this one or Veilstone, mm-hmm. which Veilstone, because it has the big department store, might be the biggest city in terms of like the square footage. I don't know. But mm-hmm. Those are the two like big attractions of the area.
Yeah.
How was Route 209 for you?
Route 209 treated me very well.
Go on.
Yeah, I did a little rappel tricking in hopes that I could get one, and I got a Ralts.
Nice.
On the first Pokeball, too. I was worried that it was just going to run away, and I wouldn't be able to get it. It was a female, and I didn't really intend to do this because it's another generation of it, but I named her Emerald, because, you know, in retrospect, maybe Jade would have been better. Emerald seems all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, did not take long to get her up to Gardevoir.
Good.
So, yeah, now she's probably the strongest thing I have on my team.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I cannot get a Ralts in my particular version.
Real?
I did get a Bonsly. Male, level 16. Named him Rollins, mm-hmm. and he will evolve into Sudowoodo. I don't remember how.
Mm.
Is he a friendly evolution?
I think he's by level.
Okay.
I can't remember what level, though.
All right. But there are quite a few good fights on Route 209. There are double battles.
Yep.
On Route 209, there is also...
Oh, knowing Mimic. It has to know Mimic.
Oh, that's right. And that's another one moving level up with it.
Okay.
One of the really cool things about 209 is the Lost Tower.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a side area that you don't... Well, you need to go up it to get HM4, which is Strength. That's where you get it at the top of the tower.
Hmm.
But there's no real like huge story element compelling you to go in there. It's just something like, hey, you get rewarded with this thing that you're going to need throughout the game if you take time to sidetrack here and look around. There are a lot of really great Pokemon available in the Lost Tower.
Yeah.
You can get a Gastly. You can get a Mischievous. You can get a Murkrow. Some really great stuff.
And you got a Rattata.
I drew a Zubat.
Ouch. much.
And I was so enraged by this because I was like planning this out. Like I didn't exploit the rappel trick because I wasn't aware that it was available in this this particular version at that time. Otherwise, I probably would have done my homework a little bit better. Mm. But I went in there. I like adjusted the clock so it was nighttime to increase my chances of encountering ghosts and Murkrow as well. And I rappel. I actually did use a couple of rappels to get to some higher floors because I figured, like, generally in these type of games, the higher you get, the more powerful Pokemon you're encountering. Generally speaking, not always the case, but yeah, I drew a Zubat and really pissed me off. So I just killed it. I was like, no, fuck you. I'm done with you, Zubat. I don't ever want to see you again.
Yeah, yeah. There is some good stuff. I think if I remember correctly, I don't have one on my team. I killed it. My lost tower draw.
Oh, whatever it was.
Yeah, I think it was probably just like a Zubat or something. Mm. Well, I also had a chance. There was Duskull. Could you get Duskull on that? Or is this
no,
Platinum
not
only?
This version. Yeah, part
that's
only.
What I really wanted. But
yeah.
No, it did not happen.
So, one thing that did happen for me in Lost Towers, Rain, the Buzeel, evolved into Floatzel. So that was pretty cool.
Very nice.
But yeah, anything else about 209 or Lost Tower in general that
we get to? No,
it's just really unfortunate because Murkrow is such a cool Pokemon, especially since in this version he gets that evolution step because Honchkrow is just a beast.
Yeah. I'm big on Honchkrow.
Yeah.
Well, he gets Super Luck too.
Yeah, it's true.
Or well, that has the potential of Super Luck.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I was just really unfortunate that there are like really cool Pokemon like Murkrow and Misdreavus, but there are really limited areas where you can catch them. Hmm. And I guess, you know, if you're not Nuzlocking, it's not that big a deal. You just kind of move around until you get one. But, you know, it's just really unfortunate that the game is so populated by Pokemon like Zubat and Geodude that it gives you a lot of garbage you got to sift through in order to get to the good stuff.
Yeah.
So, Selassie in town?
Yeah, Selassie, right? I'm not really sure how to say that one.
The town where the daycare is. Yep. That's the biggest attraction there.
Mm-hmm.
Not really a whole lot else going on. There's the daycare, so you can breed stuff if you want. I'm not exactly clear on the Nuzlocke rules of breeding.
Yeah.
But So I'm generally avoiding it.
Well, there's a guy who gives you kind of Pokeballs, at least in Platinum. Like, if you accomplish certain things within a certain amount of time, he'll give you kind of interesting ones.
There's a guy who gives you... In Pearl version, it's you have to bring him, like, a suggested Pokemon. He runs, like, the town newspaper or something. He's like, oh, I want to see a Zubat. So you bring him a Zubat, and he gives you a couple Pokeballs.
Well, since we're playing this way, there's a good chance we're not going to... I mean, if you were collecting everything, it'd be easy. It'd be
yeah.
So easy. You just bring them whatever you have, what you've seen in all the routes, but
yeah,
you're kind of limited.
Also, in Celestian Town are the ruins, and there's a couple of cool things you can find in the ruins once you move deeper inside. You can get a nugget. You can find a rare candy. This is also where you catch unknowns. I caught one at level 20 named Evil.
Mm-hmm. I don't even think I got one. No, I did not catch one. So either I just avoided this altogether, or can I avoid this? Or is this
yeah,
part of
it's not a necessary.
Yeah, I don't even think I've done this yet.
There's one thing that kind of opens up when you catch a lot of unknowns.
Mm-hmm.
It's later on in the game. I think it's around Route 214. There's a guy who is digging a tunnel, and in this tunnel, you have a higher chance of catching Hippodounce, but the tunnel won't open up. You won't finish digging it until you catch like 10 or I think maybe even 20 unknowns, which is such a pain in the ass.
Dang.
So, also deep in the ruins, there's a kid who, once you find him, he'll make his way out. And if you show him an unknown, he will give you seals that you can put in your Pokeballs. Basically, stickers that you can put in a Pokeball, which I guess is kind of cool if you're into that sort of customization. And it's also kind of cool because I think those will carry over. To other generations when you move Pokemon over. So if you have a Pokemon that you caught in this version, you put a little seal on it, your Pokeball will look different in other versions as you move it on.
Yeah.
Anything else about Selassie in town?
Not much to report. Not really a lot going on there.
Okay. 210, which goes north out of Selassie in town, is another really cool route. There's a lot of really good battles, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And did you catch anybody there on Route 210?
I actually did not. I don't think I did, because is this broken into two parts? Is there like a north? Yes. There's a north and a south, and I think that I intentionally just rappelled my way through this because, I mean, it's escaping me now because I haven't gone back to it, but I think I wanted to get something out of the north end of it.
Yeah, on the north end is when you move the Psyducks and you have to defog. Okay. So Route 210 is a path that runs only north. It runs north-south. But yeah, there's the southern section that will take you to 215, and then the northern section continues on from there and will take you to Celestic Town, I believe it's called, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Anyway.
Okay.
So on Route 210,
what did you get, by the way?
I got a Ponyta.
Oh, about that.
A male, level 18, named it Frog.
Nice.
And I decided that it's going to be Mika's first Pokemon. So one day when she's old enough, I'm going to transfer it over to Heart Gold. Yep, Heart Gold. And she will begin her run through with a Ponyta, which won't listen to her at all, but it'll be a nice growing experience for her. Nice bonding. And actually, it was kind of funny because my second encounter was a Chansey.
Oh.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. So there's quite a few good battles. Like we mentioned before, you can't go further north till you move a Psyduck, so you have to go west. Mm-hmm. There's the little cafe where you can buy milk, which are basically super potions.
Yep. Very, very useful. Yep. Well, isn't it 100? Not 50. Like, isn't super potion 50?
Oh, yeah, you're right. They're the price of a super potion.
Much more useful in battle.
Yeah, yeah. And I think they also increase friendliness a little bit because it's tastier than a potion or something like that.
Yeah, Miltank is delicious.
Then you move east along Route 215, which is a route where it's raining. And there was... It's pretty easy to traverse, especially if you have cut, because there's like a bunch of little routes that you can... make your way through. It's easier to avoid the tall grass, which I was, because I wasn't sure what I wanted to catch there. I still haven't caught anything there. Anything?
On 215?
Yep.
I did, in fact. Yeah, I targeted at level 22, you are left some pretty sweet options. You get Kadabra, Scyther, or Meryl. And I got Kadabra.
Of all things.
Again, this is one that I probably shouldn't have ended up capturing, but I did. Took a couple of Pokeballs, but it did not teleport away. So I'm sitting here now with my awesome level 21 Houdini.
Nice.
Yeah. Maybe trade bait later on, because I already got my Gardevoir. I don't need this.
You don't need to double dip on Psychic.
Yeah.
So I did have a little bit of bad news on 215. Okay. So right around Selassian Town, I decided that I was going to hatch that Happiny, and I did a little friendship evolution walking, and... got its happiness level up, evolved it into a Chansey, and was using the experience share to level it up quite a bit. Got it to about level 16, 17, and its HP was enormous.
Mm.
At that early on, like in the early teens, its HP was...
It's like in the 100? Is it 100 yet?
Yeah, it was approaching and then surpassing 100, even before level 20. And I got a little cocky.
Mm-hmm.
Right at the end of Route 215, there's an opportunity for a double battle. And I was like, I'm just going to... I got this. I have...
Don't crush the wing.
Yeah, I have really nice level advantages with my main team. This is going to be a really great opportunity to gain a couple of levels for Chansey, who I named Bear.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to take my best Pokemon, throw it out there with Chansey, and... just hit it, like hit whatever is strongest with my best move, and get through this battle. Just brute force my way through it.
Hmm.
What ended up getting thrown out in this double battle? Fucking Gyarados.
Oh,
God damn it! So then I'm scrambling. I'm like, all right, who can I switch out to take out this Gyarados? And again, I was a little bit cocky, and I decided to leave Chansey in there, thinking that
it can
take one hit until I can get someone else out. I'm going to get as much experience out of this as I can. Like, nope, Chansey did not survive.
Ouch.
Yeah.
That is not good. Oh, I'm sorry.
It was unfortunate. I mean, I wasn't quite sure if I was going to use it from start to finish here, and I'm really happy with my team now. So
it was a walking Coca Center too, yeah, which is just convenient.
Yeah, and it would have been so great to be able to use one for at least a little while in the game. But no, I got a little bit overconfident.
Yeah,
and that was the downfall of Chansey.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of 215 is Vilestone.
Yeah,
which is a pretty cool little town. Anything eventful for you there?
Well, I'm gifted another Pokemon. You want to guess which one they gave me?
Which one?
Jirachi. They gave me a Porygon.
Gave you a Porygon?
Yeah, yeah.
That's equally cool.
I named it Picasso. Uh-huh. Like the Cubist painter.
They're just like giving you all sorts of shit.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
This is pretty sweet. I'm liking this a lot. Sorry.
A Porygon is a really good one to have.
American version, apparently.
Well, as you are able to move that from generation to generation, you keep on getting the upgrades for it, so you can keep on moving it forward and get it up to a Porygon Z, can be such a pain in the ass sometimes, like going back and trying to fill in the Pokedex. I would actually like to have each individual step of Porygon, so that way whenever I transfer him over to new generations, I don't ever have to find another Porygon and have to trade it and transfer it to get it to level up or evolve. But yeah, that's actually a really cool pickup, just from like a collection aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else for you in Vilestone?
There's a lot going on there. I mean, we're already an hour and 20 minutes in.
Let's just finish up this town and then
sounds good. I mean, if you want to get just quickly, this has the huge department store, doesn't it?
Has the department store? Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of stuff you can do there. There's a game corner.
There's a game corner.
If you want to work on increasing the happiness of your Pokemon, there's the massage lady in there, which really helps you out with that. There's nonstop stuff going on here. False swipe if you want to catch.
Yep. So this was my third gym battle. Mm-hmm. Did you fight the gym here?
I did, yeah. As a fighting type, right?
Yep, fighting type gym. The leader is Maylene.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I used quite a bit of Drifblim in this particular section because Ghost has that immunity to fighting types. She had a Metatite, and a Machoke, and a Lucario.
Yeah, same here.
Which was a pretty cool little...
Some good moves on these two. These aren't messing around.
Yep. Red was able to win pretty easily against Metatite. Machoke was a little bit of a dangerous battle because, in my version, you knew Rock Throw, and Red is a flying type. So that one wasn't quite as easy of a win, but Red was still able to power through it. And then Lucario, I had to tag team Red with Patch to use my fire types against the steel type there.
Yeah.
So, yep. It's probably like the most challenging gym that I've encountered up to this point in the Nuzlocke. The first three gyms, but you know, it wasn't really much of a nail biter. It was I just didn't want him KO my way through it.
Yeah. Mine was a combo. It wasn't Crobat yet, but it was Golbat.
Nice.
And Gardevoir, which I got up to level 30 just for this battle, just to evolve it. So nothing too tricky. Confuse rays everywhere and confusion the rest of the time.
All right. And the other thing that happens right after the gym is you are able to help May get her Pokedex back from a Team Galactic member, which is rewarded with HM2, which is Fly.
It feels like it's been so long in this game that we get to fly around now.
And it's inside a building once you beat the Team Galactic members. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then you're able to just whisk anywhere that you've been before.
Yeah.
Which is nice. And I guess that's as good a spot as any.
Yeah, we've already progressed upon this, so...
Yeah, we really have. I actually didn't think it would take us an hour and 20 minutes to work our way through.
Yeah, I mean, this is cathartic for me. I hope it was for you.
Yeah, this is great. I'm sweating a little bit. Need a cigarette.
I'm good.
Yeah. So, Wes, let's talk about your run through of X and Y.
Do you want to? We're an hour and 23 in.
Fuck it, let's go.
I just started X and Y.
Sure did. For which time is this? Is it the second time playing?
This is the second time, but I haven't actually played through it yet.
You haven't finished it?
I've never been X and Y.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man. I clocked.
So I'm like, this is it. This is hence why I chose a Mega Evolution team.
Okay. Seems appropriate.
Which is going to be...
Those Digimon in there.
Houndoom, Lucario, Gengar, Ampharos, Alakazam, and Garchomp.
I like Ampharos.
I do too.
I like Garchomp. You got a couple of dragons there. That's good.
Yep.
I mean, if you're going to build a team, you might as well do it around dragons.
You might as well, man.
Am I right, Ryan?
I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, there you go.
That's what this generation's so great. It really educates the non-believers like you about dragons and how they're not so special.
I mean, I feel like...
And how much amazing the poison type is now.
I love poisons.
Yeah.
I feel like those who do not appreciate the awesomeness of dragons should be called the unbelievers. Because it's more of a cult that we're in that worships these dragons.
All nine of them.
They're so good, though.
They're
nine really amazing Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when Flygon is your middle of the pack, I mean...
Yeah, well, you know, I listened to the one that you guys did on dragons, and I thought it was... I really don't have anything prepared to talk about dragons specifically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am such a wet blanket when it comes to talking about dragons. I'm not going to spoil the fun you guys had with it.
Because
but it was very thorough. Very informative, and you made me change it up. Like, Salamence, right? Was Salamence for you?
Yep.
Dragonite for you?
Their base stats are pretty much identical, and I guess just to reiterate, the only reason I put Salamence higher is he can counter more types.
That was it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and it pretty much just was from Zen Headbutt. He learns that one move,
and you made it a point not to talk about the sixth gen, but since we're talking about the sixth gen, you could now. I mean, whenever you wanted to bring it up, because this actually introduces a ton of dragons.
Mm-hmm. I think, three, four, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
You got Gudra, you got Noivern, Tyrantum.
Tyrantum, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's at least
three. Oh, and the weird...
The weird one, right.
Zygarde.
Dragalig.
Dragalig.
Oh, that's right.
Dragalig.
I like that all you had to say was the weird.
The weird.
Oh, yeah, of course. Who is a dragon poison?
It was so cool, dragon poison, but it learns, like, all water moves.
Yeah, exactly.
For, like, the longest fucking time.
Yeah.
So you're just almost useless for a while.
But anyway, you're using a Garchomp, and good for you.
Yes.
Because he's
Garchomp is the shit. If I were to be, I didn't do a list, if I were, Garchomp would probably be my number one.
Yeah.
He's
quite good.
Real big.
He's quite good.
He's amazing. I'm super excited.
So, how far are you?
Fourth gym.
How are you liking it so far?
I like it.
Have you gotten this far before?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How far did you get on your previous attempt?
Around here.
Okay.
I got a little further, but around here.
What made you tap out? Why'd you quit?
I forget. I think just a bunch of stuff popped up game-wise. I just never really got back to it.
I mean, I doubt that. Doubt that, because you pretty much play League of Legends and Skyrim over and over.
Well, you know. I'm playing Arkham City right now.
Have you played it before?
Just a couple minutes of it.
Okay.
Never played through it before.
All right.
So, this is the first time through. It's good.
I'm sure.
You'd enjoy the Batman games, John.
I mean, I might.
There
is one on Wii U. I mean, I might try it one day, but probably not.
You'd enjoy it.
Okay, if you say so. I should just, you know, replay Metroid Prime, I think.
Why replay a game when you just experience something new?
Because I already know.
Broaden your horizons here, John.
I have pretty broad horizons.
You don't like Batman. It's just that simple.
I don't like what?
Batman.
Oh, I thought you said white man. I was like, I don't... Why were you racing to this?
You do go after the honkies a lot.
That's our word, and I appreciate you not using it. What else do we want to say about X and Y?
I don't know. I'll go more in depth later on, but, you know, I'm still working on my team.
Okay.
Doing my thing.
So, did you get to trade over the two...
No, I still got to trade the other guys over.
You better get to that, because it's getting kind of late.
Yeah.
You're going to be using all Megas. Ampharos is one of them.
Yep.
And then, does Alakazam have a Mega?
Yeah.
Oh.
So does Aerodactyl has one?
Yes.
Does he really?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Absol has one.
Which actually made me tempted to use Abomasnow.
Yeah.
Because he has a Mega. I was like,
have you looked at it too? He's got like 60 move speed, if that, and it's just like off the charts everything else. This thing is just absurd.
Too bad it's a terrible Pokemon.
Well, you know.
I bet there's maybe some others too that I'm not even remembering, but yeah. I think you got the real winners.
I got goodies.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be nice.
Alright, well, good talk.
I'm excited.
Anything else you want to say about your X and Y? Run through?
No.
I mean, we went out for an hour and 20 minutes.
I tackled this for five.
This is totally... Just go off the reins here. It's fine.
Yeah, it's all right.
All right. Well, anyone else want to talk about X and Y?
I mean, we are at an hour and a half. I can save my thoughts and actually organize them a little better because
okay.
I want to gush. I want to gush about how great X is.
Okay. I will just
throw from a mechanic standpoint, not necessarily a story or Pokemon in general, but
okay.
just the way the game plays. I have a lot to say about because I've been clocking a lot of time playing Black and White 2,
mm-hmm.
and this is the next in line, and I think it's been a much more dramatic leap than you guys have led me to believe this would be.
Well, it's a leap in terms of the technology of mm-hmm. the game. I'm not so sure that it's such a tremendous leap, if at all, in terms of the actual mechanics of the progression mm-hmm. of the way you're actually playing the game. So things are a lot more streamlined. Things move a lot faster. The interface has improved.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the construction of the world and the way you progress through it, I just wasn't quite as impressed as I was with the fifth generation. And the fifth generation, I mean, it also has the really cool advantage of it. Everything's being totally fresh. Like, hey, these are 150 Pokemon. You have never seen any of them before.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, also, I guess since I'm on this tangent, I also really liked the experience distribution in the fifth generation. So there's
a better way to do it than just having one that you pin an item to.
I like the experience share in X and Y, and I hope that's something that sticks around.
Mm-hmm.
But in Black and White, you gain exponential experience based upon the levels of the competing
Pokemon.
Oh, that's
what you mean.
Yeah.
I see. Okay,
so
yeah.
If you have a level 1 Pokemon and you throw it out in battle, withdraw it, and then beat that Pokemon, your level 1 is gaining much more experience than it would have if they were equal levels. So.
Yeah.
Also, for example, if you're a level 25 and you beat a level 30, you're getting more experience than if you were a 30, beating a 30.
I see.
So, yeah, it rewards you for fighting higher level Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So, yeah. That's as good a place as any to stop. Next week will be the mini show, which would be any random game you feel like talking about. You could talk about Batman, Wes.
I could talk about Batman.
I promise I'll listen for the first 2 minutes.
I'm Batman.
I'm sure you are.
I'm Batman.
Stop it. So.
I'm Batman.
Stop it. Right now. After that will be the Super Nintendo show, and then we'll wrap up the month again with the official show. So, until then, everybody.
I'm Batman.
Later.